It's a little goofy, but Brian came up with this, and I thought it fit because it's a sort of play on persistence. He's got his helmet on where he can get the cheese. I don't think I'd still want to be sprung by the trap. But this passage is about persistence and faith. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 21 and through 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from the region came and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away because she keeps shouting at us." Don't you always like the disciples? When it's a tough decision, what do? They go running to Jesus. "Take care of this, would you?" But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, I want you to pay attention to what he said, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Jews thought they were God's chosen people, but they still were lost sheep. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, I'll explain that later. That seems sort of cruel, doesn't it? But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Dynamic Christians realize faith in Jesus leads to healing. Dynamic Christians realize faith in Jesus leads to healing. Now notice it said she was healed at once. The daughter's not there. I like to call this, God can do long distance healing, okay? He doesn't have to lay his hands on you. But we as Christians should realize faith in Jesus leads to healing. Now, this woman's daughter, she said, was demon-possessed. Some would say, well, she was just had some mental problem. We don't know what the case was. Doesn't matter if it was demon-possessed or she had a mental problem. She was healed because of the woman's faith. Now, let's get a couple misnomers out of the way. Some people say if something bad's happening in your life, you don't have enough faith. That is not scriptural. Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed 3 times that his thorn in the flesh would be taken away from him, and it wasn't taken away. How many of you think you got a lot more faith than Paul? So, no. One thing's got nothing to do with the other. This woman's daughter was healed because of her faith that Jesus could heal her. I believe she had faith. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was who he said he was, the Son of Man, the Messiah. And she had faith in him, and her daughter was healed. I talked about miracles a few weeks ago in the healing. And we sometimes misunderstand that. We pray for people to be miraculously healed. And I use an illustration of a friend of mine who God used to miraculously heal, be there when somebody was miraculously healed, and it scared him to death. And I was the first person he ever told. Because God doesn't heal someone we pray for doesn't mean we don't have enough faith. I don't know why God heals some people and doesn't heal anybody. Some others, I don't know. When you get to heaven, it's on your list. Ask him. And I'm a firm believer when you get to heaven, your list is not going to be important to you. It's one of those things I don't know. People say, "Preacher, you're supposed to know." No. I just point you to the one who does know. His name's God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, if you're into the King James. Holy Spirit. This woman's daughter was healed because of faith, and God heals people every day. When somebody moves over from being a lost sinner to a redeemed sinner, they are healed spiritually, never to taste spiritual death. And we act like that's no big deal in the church. Well, I want to see somebody lame walk. Somebody lame walking is nothing compared to somebody being spiritually healed. By the way, as I've told you before, when I preached on the miracles before, if you're a believer, death is the ultimate healing, because you go to a place where there is no suffering and there's no more pain. Now, we hate seeing them go from us, and we're sad about it. But they're in a much better place. In Philippians, Paul says, for me to die is gain. But he wasn't in a hurry to die. But he's saying, for me to die is gain, because he's going to heaven. No more sin. I don't know if you've noticed this. Once you're redeemed, you're still a sinner. I had some people, I've had a staff member in one church tell me he doesn't sin anymore. And I looked at him, I said, well, be prepared to be crucified. He said, what? Well, the only sinless person the church folk crucified. And I said, by the way, you still sin. Well, what makes you think that? The arrogance to think you have no sin is the first sin you got today going for you. He didn't like that much. But he was being misled by some people who were teaching bad theology. But we're to realize that faith in Jesus leads to healing spiritually, even if he doesn't heal us physically. Spiritual healing is forever. I tell people all the time in the church, they say, well, so-and-so, she's so old. I say, if you're a believer, there is no old. We sing a song, Amazing Grace, in the traditional service. When I've been there 10,000 years, we're going to live forever if you're a believer. So what's up middle age if you're living forever? Now, I know some of us hair turns white and some of our hair falls out. We won't go there. And some of your hair is white, we just don't know it. Never will. I had a lady in my church one time that was teaching Sunday school class, and I said, she was talking about her gray hair. I said, you don't have any gray hair. She said, yeah, I do. You just won't ever see it. I said, oh, okay. Shows you how naive I was about women. I didn't understand women colored their hair then. My family's sort of funny. My aunt, my mother's, when they started turning gray in 6 months, we were gray, and that's pretty much what happened to me. Once it started turning gray, boom, it was over. But you see, we, the church, are to realize faith in Jesus leads to healing, and the best healing is spiritual. But just as dynamic Christians realize faith in Jesus leads to healing, dynamic Christians keep seeking God or Jesus. Dynamic Christians keep seeking God. Why? I don't know about you, but I can't ever get enough. And I get lost on the way sometime. Y'all are probably much better than me because y'all here at 8:45. You're not like those slackers that show up at 10 and 11. What I like about contemporary service, one of the things is like, y'all are not so bad about this. This is not a criticism. Don't got to preach us fasting because we were late. I was at a church and we had a contemporary service, and after the first song, the crowd had tripled. And that was normal. Because things happen, especially if you got kids. Things happen. Things like that. There's too many important things to be concerned about. Notice what this woman, she kept saying, she bowed down to him. And then he said, it's not, I came to the lost sheep of Israel. It's not right to take food from the table and give it to the dogs. And her reply is so great. But even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Now, we don't understand that fully. Some Jews, in case you missed this, the Jews and the Gentiles did not get along. Some of the Jews hated the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles did what? They hated them back. Hate breeds hate if we're not careful. Hate is of the demonic spirit, in case you missed that. And some Jews called Gentiles dogs. They were less than human to them. And when Jesus said that, he was testing her, and her response is so great. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the table. She's not going into a hate mode saying, he's just like all the other Jews. I'm going to hate him. She responded in faith. You're different. I'm going to respond in faith. And her daughter was healed. Hate's a terrible thing. case you missed what happened in Charlottesville, you would have to have no phone, no TV, and no radio Saturday of last week. That was because of hate. Hate breeds more hate unless you seek God in the face of hate. Hate's of the demonic spirit, Satan, in case you missed that. Hate destroys other people, but it ultimately destroys you if you hate. I have trouble, I know they exist, I have trouble in the 21st century America knowing that people believe that hateful, reprehensible thoughts. But they do. Hate is terrible. It destroys other people and it destroys you if you hate. And the antidote to hate is love. And true agape love comes from God. So we keep seeking God in the face of hate. And by the way, if we keep seeking God and have faith in Him, we'll be healed from hate. I was pastoring a church, and this older guy just liked me. I don't know why he liked me, because he liked the fact that I told it like it was. He told me he'd take me to lunch. He had never taken a preacher to lunch in his life. And his family shared something with me. He died while I was there because I preached on hate, and I preached the passage from the epistles of John that said, if you hate your brother you have seen, how can you possibly love God you have not seen? And they said, that changed him because he hated blacks and he repented and confessed it, and it wasn't a month later that he died. And he changed his behavior, and his family shared with me, that's why we think you were sent here, to preach that he might change his heart before he died. I didn't know any of that. Till after the fact, the way after the funeral. People ask me, who do you preach to on Sunday morning? Who do you aim it at? And I look at them and I say, myself. Everything I preach applies to me. In case you've missed it, the Bible applies to everybody. Some just don't know it. The unbelievers don't know it. But we keep seeking God, and that's what cures us from hate. We don't respond to hate with hate. We respond to hate with love. I don't know about you, but I've been spending a lot of time this week in prayer for our community. For the family that lost a loved one, and for the officer who shot, and for all our law enforcement. In the traditional service, I pray for law enforcement and firefighters and medical people and educators every Sunday. I also pray for our armed services. Because the armed services and law enforcement try to restrain evil in this world. In case you missed it, we live in an evil world. And one reason is hate and anger. And people who are angry can turn to hate real quickly. We're the church. We're supposed to teach grace and forgiveness and love and reconciliation with God. And folks, if you've been reconciled to God and you keep working at seeking God, He's going to transform your heart if your heart's full of hate. We're the church. We have no excuse for hate. We've discovered God's love. And love's expensive. And forgiveness is expensive. It costs the one who forgives. In case you missed it, God forgiving us cost the only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. we live in a culture that's divided. People point out all of our differences. And I got news for you, folks. We're all human beings. And we got a lot more in common than we got different. We got some false teaching that have been around for thousands of years. And as Paul teaches us, we got, if you're a believer, you got something in common with every other believer. You got Christ. And you're supposed to have a transformed heart. And there's no room in a godly heart for hate. There's only room for love. And by the way, in case you missed it, we're commanded to love our enemies. Somebody asked me one time, "Preacher, who's your enemies?" I don't know. I don't have any. The only enemies I got are people that are made themselves my enemies, and I'm their enemy, but they're not my enemy. Our job is to keep seeking God until we have His heart and we practice what He teaches us to practice. And that means loving our enemies. Loving people who despitefully use us and abuse us for the kingdom's sake. Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." And we have trouble loving people different from us? Seek God till your hearts transform. Seek God till you act like your hearts transform. And keep seeking Him. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us and care about us and want the very best for us. Lord God, we're humbled that You love us in spite of who we are. You love us in spite of our sin. You love us in spite of our shortcomings. You love us knowing who we truly are. And we're thankful that You can teach us to love others. And that You not only give us eternal life, You can transform our heart. Lord God, may we be a people who are known for our love and our forgiveness and our generosity and our grace. And may we be known as a church where those people act like they're God's people. May that be what we act like. And we don't just act like it, we are God's people. And the world notices. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.